Total Tuscany Podcast number 32. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, along with the co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Travis. How are you today?
Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Of course, if you like this podcast, you can have it delivered right to your device, whether it be mobile or even your computer, just by following us on iTunes or Stitcher. So as soon as we publish a new podcast, you'll know right away. Also, don't forget to like us on our social media channels. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. And if you really want to stay up to date with us, go to our website, TotalTuscany.com, and sign up for the email newsletter. I promise you, we don't spam you. We don't email that much. But we just want to, you know, stay in contact with you. And when we have a new service that comes out, we'll be able to inform you about that. You know, Pat, our first trip to Tuscany was back in 2009. And that's when I took my four kids and you took your three kids. And I think we put a good itinerary together, but I wouldn't always say that it was a kid-friendly itinerary.
Tuscany is kind of, it's kid-friendly all its own, but our planning was maybe lacking a little bit there.
You know, I had a two-year-old daughter was my youngest at the time, and all the way up to, I believe, 14. So there was a wide range there. And sometimes when you go on a vacation like this, keeping the kids entertained and giving them things to do can be somewhat of a task. It can be somewhat hard to find.
Yeah. We break it up a little bit with a gelato here and there, and we had some fun.
It's amazing what gelato can do, isn't it?
It makes the whole day go better.
Makes the whole day a lot better. But I do know the first time that I was in Florence, it was a bit overwhelming experience, not just for my wife and I, but our kids. And we seem to be a little bit lost. Today, we have a unique interview where I think if you're going to bring your children to Tuscany, and we encourage you to do so, because it will have a major impact, but you need to talk to Molly McAlrath, because she is amazing and she can tailor a tour for you and your children.
She's focused in Florence, but if you're headed to Florence, let's talk to Molly and find out exactly what she can offer.
Molly, my first question is, how does a girl from Stockton, California end up all the way in Florence, Italy?
Okay. I love that question. I didn't come straight from Stockton, obviously, to Italy, but I came for my first trip to Italy when I was actually 12 years old, and it was a family trip, and we traveled everywhere. And then from there, it's a long story about I had many years of studying here during college and then living here for a while for a few years in Siena, working before I went to graduate school. And then I came back finishing my doctoral research and ended up staying. So a span of many, many years, actually, all summed up, but a lot of coming and going. But with that first trip, it was when I was living and growing up in Stockton. And after that, I was living other places. I was living in Santa Cruz, California in college. University of California, Santa Cruz. I did my study abroad year in Venice. And then I did another year of my doctoral research when I was in Wisconsin, Madison, University of Wisconsin. So yeah, I started getting into studying Italian in high school and kept coming as a teenager in the summers. So it was a lot of years of coming and going throughout my life, actually, and then finally settling. So it's not an easy question to answer, mm-hmm.
It's funny how everyone we talk to, the stories kind of have that common thread that they traveled and they were in Italy for just a little while and then they kept coming back and they kept coming back.
Right, exactly. Something keeps drawing you back, and that was sort of what happened with me. I just kind of kept coming back in high school, and fortunately my brother was living here at the time, so I had a place to stay, and I would come visit, and he lives here now as well. So that was also another connection that kind of always drew me here over the years. So visiting him, visiting family, having connections. But yeah, it was a constant kind of back and forth, going back to the States, then being drawn right back for whatever reason.
You know, it's an interesting story because I never traveled abroad when I was growing up. And Pat, I don't believe you did either.
Not much, no.
And so it was 6 years ago that we took our entire families to Tuscany. I have four children. Pat has three. And I can tell you, listening to how you were influenced at the age of 12, I have seen the effects with my own children, and I think Pat has too, of what that trip has done to influence their possibilities in life.
Very much so. I mean, you know, it's funny because I was, you know, I work a lot with kids and families and in the Uffizi a lot, actually. But I always, I remember my first trip when I was in Florence at the age of 12. And I remember being in the Uffizi. And I remember, I mean, I remember so vividly those rooms that I was in. Not all of them, of course, because it's obviously partly a blur. But I still remember, you know, seeing certain paintings. And I always tell people when I have kids that are that age, especially on the tours, that, you know, this is the painting, I have to show it to you. But I remember seeing it when I was that age. It really, really affected me. And the one that I love the most that I remember is Simone Martini, Lippo Memmi, the Sienese painters from the 14th century, the Annunciation, one of the most famous paintings in the Uffizi. But that's one that really kind of really just sunk in, something about that painting. I remember that moment. And every single time I'm in that room, I remember that moment when I was 12.
And so
it's a nice memory.
Tell us a little bit about the private tours that you're giving now.
So most of the tours I do are pretty much private for even the companies that I collaborate with. And then I do a few, I'm doing more now, or some that are sort of a tour, then a workshop, an art workshop for kids and for families. And a few that we've done mosaic making in the fall, which was really fun because parents and kids mixed together. And I actually got into that because I took a woman who was here with her kids this last summer to take just a private class with this teacher at the school, at the art school. And she wanted me to take the class as well and to make a mosaic. And I had never done that. And it really, something clicked. I thought, wow, it's really great. It's really fun to make the art. And even for me, you know, as an adult and not an artist, but I always talk about it. So I like this idea of now kind of combining, having these workshops to offer as well as the tours. And so it's a bit of a combination where you do maybe the tour and talk about the history and churches and art, and then have a workshop after or in the afternoon. These are sorts of things that I do a lot in the summer. And then a few throughout the year now are private or sort of maybe 10 or 15 kids and parents together. And so this is sort of a new project I'm working on, but it's been going well so far and exciting and very fun.
I think it's a fabulous niche, especially working with children, because I got to be honest with you, I wish I knew you in 2009. I'm going to give you a little story. We are staying in a villa outside San Gimignano, and it is the start of Holy Week. So we're, you know, it's Palm Sunday, and my wife and I have this idea, hey, let's go get on the train in Certaldo, and let's take the four kids up to Florence on Palm Sunday, which was the absolute biggest mistake I could have ever made, because there were so many people, and I've got four kids all over the place, and we had no idea what to do. We decided to go it alone, and I remember, I think for my kids, it was the most miserable part of the trip, because we had nothing for them to do. We were shoulder to shoulder with people, and looking back now, we didn't plan an activity with the kids. We encourage on this podcast and our website, take your children, because it's a memorable experience, but what you provide and what you offer is so unique that I think people need to understand. Kids, they do need to be entertained, but they can learn at the same time. I wish I would have known you in 2009.
I know, me too.
But take us through what you do with the kids and the fun activities they can do and learn at the same time.
Well, I mean, I try really hard to, it varies so much on what the parents want and different itineraries, but, you know, something kind of typical would be seeing a few museums, like maybe Palazzo d'Avanzati is really great that kids like, which is 14th century building. You can walk into the bedrooms, the bathrooms, and see, you know, the art of that time. And, well, in fact, Palazzo Belfiore, who you interviewed for your one of your podcasts, you know, their frescoes inside were painted by the same painters that painted Palazzo d'Avanzati. So this period of, you know, frescoes in the bedrooms and these buildings, kids can actually go in and see this. And it's a, you know, history that you're walking in, you're seeing how people live at that time. So that's actually really fascinating and really fun. Can do activities in there, depending on the ages of the kids, because that's where you really need to know, you know, and the personalities as well. So you kind of have to have a lot of different things that you know about to then offer on the spot, but also have pre-planned. It's not super easy. I mean, it's taken me a long time actually now to kind of finally make it click and work with kids. But I feel actually really good. This last summer went really well. I'm experimenting a lot. So that's one thing is, you know, museums, even the Etsy is okay, but it has to be for kids that are a bit older because it's very crowded and very hot in the summer. So you have to be pretty interested, and it's kids that are really interested in art to be able to withstand all that, the crowds of the Uffizi. So a few museums, and then I try to take them to see artisans if I can, or at least one if we have time, to really see things being made that are hands-on, and they get to meet someone. So that's something that I like to do, and I choose a variety of different local artisans in Florence that I know to take the family to, and kids love that. And it really breaks it up too, because I find that they kind of get a second wind after when they actually get to meet someone who's making something, making jewelry or making, I mean, anything. There are many different options. And then, you know, sometimes we stop for activities. We always stop for gelato in the summer and talk and can sketch in the piazza. There are little ways of making it, you know, to break up the history and the sort of heavier, more educational art learning with more fun and relaxed and kind of seeing and meeting people. So it's really important to actually do see someone and meet an artisan. I try really hard to have them, you know, to meet an artisan. That's something for me that's very important.
So it sounds.
So yeah, lots of options. But breaking it up is very, very important, and going at their pace, definitely.
So it sounds like our listeners could contact you and kind of tell you the ages of their children.
Yeah.
And you can tailor the tour for the for that age group?
Yeah, very customized. Yeah, they need to always really, very, I think, to have a really, really good family tour. They need to be very, very customized. And it is, you know, you want to entertain the parents as well. And then sometimes some parents, they just don't worry about me so much, focus more on the kids, and some want it to be more kind of a balance. And so it's nice, you know, an exchange as well with emails. You get to know the family. But yeah, no, people can contact me and can tailor it to however they want. But it's I do like the teaching and then combining it with activities. And I think that's actually very important. I've learned that throughout the last years. It's the most important thing to break it all up.
Do you have your PhD, you said?
Well, so I did my doctoral work. I actually, my dissertation, the research, I finished all the exams in Wisconsin. And then I sort of, after the year of trying to put it all together, I started getting more into art history and art. And I started doing tours, actually, while I was, after finishing some of my research, or actually while still working on it and trying to figure that all out. And I eventually just sort of, you know, decided not to really, academia is not really what I want. So stopped there, but I still, you know, do a lot of reading and still kind of have my foot in the water of academia and feel very close to it, but I'm not, I don't teach anymore.
I could make the argument that you're still in academia, but your classroom are really the streets of Florence.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's true. And that's really, for me, really important to share all the knowledge that I have years of study that it took for the bachelor's degree and master's and all the way up through my doctoral exams that took, you know, a lot of years altogether. It's a lot of knowledge that I can now kind of really spread around in different ways with kids and with adults, with families. And so that's why it never is boring for me, because I like to share it with that wider public, sort of a non-academic public, but people that want something more in depth. And that's nice, because with academia, it's a bit more just academic, the world. So I like bringing it out into the street.
So Molly, you know that Travis and I and wives will be there in March, and we would love a private tour. And what does a private tour for adults look like? For especially, you know, a couple of guys that we appreciate art, but we really don't necessarily know what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of guys who have experienced the Uffizi and were overwhelmed by just the size of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take somebody like us on a private tour? What does that look like?
Well, if you have some experience with it, well, you know, just take you in. I mean, if you're with your kids, then, you know, we go in and think of the activities. I don't know how old your kids are, but considering all the different ages, try to engage everybody together. And you said the Uffizi. I mean, the Uffizi is pretty big and overwhelming, but it's not like the Vatican in Rome, where it's not quite as big, it's doable. So something like that, you know, you look at the art and we talk about it a lot, do a lot of discussion about it with a lot of little breaks in between. So if the kids are very young, you know, I always give, you know, sketchbook and pencils. I always have materials on hand, lots of materials. And I've learned that over the years to, I didn't know that automatically at the beginning when I started doing tours focused for kids. I didn't quite understand yet that you had to have all these materials. And now I've realized that you really do have to have a lot of, you know, things in your bag to bring to it. And so, so yeah, depending on the ages, the feetsie could be a couple hours even. But I tend to also not always, I mean, the feetsie is something people always think about, you know, immediately. And it's great. It's such an important museum. But there are a lot of other smaller museums and churches and things that you can do that don't have to include the feetsie. And, you know, it's amazing because people who've been here before, maybe they might know a whole lot about, they might have seen the museums, they might think that they know, but there's always something new whenever you do a private tour with someone. You know, even every different guide is different. So I always hear that people say, oh, you know, at the first, I'm not that interested in art. And then at the end, they say, wow, oh my gosh, you know, I really am. I love it. I want to learn more. I want to go read. And then others who've been here before and they've seen the museums many times and they think they've done it all. And then they realize after that they haven't. So, you know, a typical tour, family tour, would be a couple of hours at least 2 hours. And there are just so many options in Florence and so many besides just the Uffizi and the Academia. So yeah, and with, of course, always a break in between, a little break if there are kids involved, because that always is important. For adults, too, it's important to have a little bit of a break, coffee break.
Do you discover something new every day in Florence?
Yes. I mean, especially, well, in the last years, Florence is changing a lot. But yeah, that's also what's very exciting about this kind of job. I mean, Florence, even where I live in Pistoia, too, every single day that I'm out, there's something, you know, new, and plus we're constantly reading different things. It never gets boring from that point of view at all. And for restaurants and bookshops, local stores, businesses popping up left and right, even on that end, it's really, really fascinating as well. So yeah, I know for the history, for the life, everything in Florence, in Tuscany, in fact, and, you know, it doesn't have to be just Florence, but all around province and Prato and Pistoia, all the way to Lucca, this whole stretch where my train line goes is just, you know, I mean, endless. I think that I need another lifetime to explore it all and keep learning. But yeah.
And did I read correct? Do you take the private tours? Will you take them outside of the city of Florence?
Oh, you can. Yeah. I mean, I tend to do, usually when I work, most of what I do or what I have done so far, but I could do anything. I am in the city of Florence primarily, just because people really want something focused on a day trip when they're in town. But I mean, I'm open to doing things outside, because actually all of us who are guides of Florence, we're also licensed to do the whole province of Florence. And the province of Florence means it's a lot. It's a big area. And there are places for museums even. You know, it's not just the Chianti. It's not just about the countryside that you go to. There's a lot of history in the little towns around Florence, a lot of nature. So yeah, no, I mean, I definitely, there's not a lot of request for that typically, because people then tend to want a guide for the city, Florence. Mm-hmm. But I've been trying to get, send people that I have clients to out after they have me in Florence, then have them, you know, do things in other cities as well and other towns that they might not have heard about. Oh, yeah, where I live, I really like a lot. And I think it's a wonderful place for people to come. It's a bit more kid friendly. It's smaller, but it's very easy to get to. So yeah. So I think that, I can do anything. I mean, you know, being a guide, you endless possibilities of mm-hmm. whatever you want to do. We could rent anything. We can rent a helicopter over the city. You know? I mean, I haven't done that, but
that's great.
You had mentioned that Venice had a major influence on you. How did you settle on Florence as your place to live?
Well, I lived in Venice for 2 years, you know, 2 different years. I lived in Siena for 2 years straight, kind of 2 years straight. It was 2 years of working and going back to the States a couple times, but for very short periods, and I'd go back to Siena. So Siena, but Venice for me really is a more important city because it was the first place where I lived on my own, and it was my first Italian city to really live and study. So I came to to, well, I settled eventually in Florence, partly because my brother is living here. So I always visited him. I kind of gravitated to Florence anyway. And then I met my husband while I was in Venice, and he's from here, Pistoia, where I live. And so I started seeing him, and then eventually, you know, I had to leave Venice anyway. So it was natural for me to come to Florence. And yeah, so that's kind of how I ended up back in Tuscany. But I already knew Florence well because I'd been, you know, I had been living in Tuscany in the past. So it was a natural gravitation, but meeting my husband as well was something too that naturally, even though I was living in Venice at the time.
So Molly, if you and the family were going to take a day trip out of Florence, you know, where would you go to see the art and see the countryside?
I have to say, because of where I live in Pistoia, I mean, I'm not a guide of Pistoia. I know really wonderful guides that I recommend here. But I love the city where I live, actually, Pistoia. So I would actually say I would recommend people go to, you know, come see Pistoia, definitely, because it's small. It's like a little mini version of Lucca. So I really do like the whole sort of, you know, Florence. I don't know, you know, if you realize the train line goes from Florence, Prato, Pistoia, all the way to Lucca, and then to Viareggio, which is the beach. And so I always encourage people, you know, if you're going to see Lucca, you should also see Prato and Pistoia that are in between Florence and Lucca. And so I'm a resident of Pistoia, I think that definitely people, and actually I have friends who come visit and they fall in love with it, and people really adore Pistoia. It's a little, very, very small, quaint center, very thriving and really great for kids, actually, I think. And there's a lot of really wonderful museums here as well that are very kid friendly. So I don't know, just off the top of my head, because I'm always thinking about Pistoia lately. Pistoia, definitely. But gosh, there's so many all around Florence's province as well. I mean, you know, the Florence province is basically a certain area. And then you have Prato next to it, which is another province. Which is another province. They all have their little sort of jurisdictions. That's how Tuscany, this is when Dante, you know, the whole time of the Guelphs and the Ghibellines that Dante writes about. These were city-states that were at war with each other. So it's still very much divided in some sense. But these are places that are very easy to get to. And I think that they really should be interconnected. So they're, you know, you can even just a couple hours, go to Prato for a few hours, go to Pistoia, head to Lucca. That's one option among many.
You really can't go wrong. You know, the big question I have for you is that you have a wonderful life. Do you anticipate spending the rest of your life in Italy?
I go back to the United States a lot. I visit California the last 5 years, at least twice a year, even in the winter for a very short stretch. And then in the summer in August, when sort of, you know, that's a good time to take off, having also a young child. My daughter's 5. Yeah, I'm fine. I don't have that sort of, I don't miss living in the United States. I get my dose of it when I go back. And I think that, you know, being from California, Tuscany, there's a lot here that really reminds me of California. So I'm constantly making connections, thinking about, wow, that reminds me so much of the mountains and Santa Cruz, the trees, the forest area. You see a lot of that here too. So I think the Tuscan landscape and California are really very similar. I feel connected here to my roots as well. And so I don't feel any need to go back to live, definitely.
Molly, your story is fascinating. And I have to think that our listeners are probably going to dial up your website soon and plan their trip and try to connect with you.
It's a new website.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you say it?
and explain what that means.
We will have a link on our website, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
I know, it's very difficult to pronounce. And actually, you're the first ones to really even see it because I'm still making it. But you can link it because now, you know, I'm starting to work on it more and it's fine. It has enough that I can actually put it online. So it's Letterarte Mente. And so lettere is, and explains this on the site, obviously, but lettere, you know, anything literary is the Italian word for that. Arte, art, and then mente, mind. And so it's sort of a combination, and it sounds a little bit like literally the word in Italian, letteralmente. So it's a playful word. It's made up, and obviously not the first one. create a made up word. I like them a lot, but I know it's a bit difficult to memorize. And so the subtitle is literary and artistic landscapes in Italy. it's all about, you know, things that are literary and artistic and kind of shining a closer light on these things. There are just so many. I'm constantly seeing things and think, oh, I want to take pictures of that, write a little bit about it, share it. So it's a space to share those things that I see and that I like and that really inspire me. And the landscape is sort of an idea of not just thinking about the Tuscan hills and the physical landscape, but also, you know, inner landscape and inspiration, things like that. Because I think that's what, you know, Tuscany, we always have this image of the rolling hills, and which are beautiful, of course. But there's a lot, you know, a lot of other things that we can actually talk about in terms of landscape, even the forests and the streets. I mean, any kind of urban landscape as well. So these are things, but the focus is on sort of the more the literary and the artistic.
It's a beautiful website. And as you said, it's brand new. You're going to keep adding to it. And I tell you what, I know for a fact that Pat and I are inspired, and I hope our listeners are inspired. Molly, you've been fabulous. We appreciate your time, and we really can't wait for it. We look forward to meeting you when we're in Tuscany.
Yeah, definitely. Have a gelato. Or a glass
two.
Of wine.
Or two. Molly, thank you very much.
Thanks to you guys.
Pat, I'm going to be honest with you. I am looking so forward to sitting down with Molly and going through a tour with her and really soaking in all the knowledge that she has.
Yeah, she seems to have a knack for taking something that's outside of our norm and bringing it down to our level. And I'm looking forward to that.
Are you motivated? You should be. Of course, you can link up to Molly's website just by going to our website, TotalTuscany.com. You'll find the link right there. Molly's also on Twitter. She's on Facebook. So follow her on her social media channels. Make sure to follow this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Always informative, always great stories. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Remember, live each and every day as if you were in Tuscany.